Welcome to Melt University's 2020 summer program. This year, our virtual intern program will help you build your brand, inform you on a variety of career paths, and introduce you to top executives in sports and marketing. Here's your host, President and CEO of Melt, one of the largest independent sports and event marketing agencies in the country, Vince Thompson.
Welcome to Melt University. Welcome to Todd Harris, a very dear friend, respected colleague, who is the president and CEO of Skillshot and was affiliated with a very successful video game publishing company called Hi-Rez for many years. And Todd has been a friend of mine for a long time. We've been working together. He is one of the most respected voices and knowledge experts of esports and video production, gaming production in the country. And we are very honored and privileged to welcome and introduce Todd Harris, the CEO of Skillshot Media, the chairman for the Atlanta Esports Alliance, who is now a leading force in the country with the Atlanta Sports Council, comprised of many business and community leaders in the esports ecosystem. As Todd tries to continue to position Atlanta as a mecca for the esports space, the video gaming space, similar to how it's become for the TV and film and movie division. So, Todd, welcome today to the inaugural podcast of Melt University.
Wow. Thank you, Vinny. That's quite the intro. I need to take you on the road with me. You're making me virtually blush, but it's great to be here with you virtually. Unfortunately, not in person at a watering hole in Brookhaven this time. But yeah, awesome to be here.
Well, I tell you, you know, it's always been our dream to share the knowledge of industry professionals such as you with many kids across the country. We've impacted a lot of lives. You've impacted a lot of lives by coming to speak to our kids. You've hosted tremendous field trips, and hopefully one day we'll do some virtual field trips, or maybe hopefully one day we'll be back live. But as we start this off today, sort of the format is we like to get to know who our speakers are, and we like to introduce them to our audience. This is going to be heard by, you know, hundreds and thousands of kids around the world. So you were a student. You attended the University of North Carolina. So tell me your experience during school there, how this began forming your pursuit of your career. Because as we tell a lot of our kids, a career path is not necessarily a linear pursuit. So had I asked you 20 years ago, would you be an expert in the gaming and the esports business, you probably would have looked at me with a very weird glance. So let's sort of start back from your experience at UNC and how that shaped and formed your career and your path, and then the opportunities that have gotten you into where you are today in the e-space.
Yeah, happy to. So actually, I'll step back even a little bit before UNC, if that's okay.
Because, yes, absolutely.
Growing up really around like sixth grade to eighth grade, I had two very formulative experiences with video games that I think helped set my long-term trajectory. The first was even before the days of neighborhood arcades, the Pizza Hut up the road put in a Space Invaders arcade cabinet, and, you know, I became obsessed, and playing that game specifically with my father, like us playing together and taking turns, was just an awesome experience. So gaming to me was not actually a solo activity from the beginning. It was all about bonding with that very important person in my life. And then a couple years later, my dad, who was a programmer, a computer coder at IBM, he brought home one of the very first IBM PCs. We were fortunate that we were able to get our hands on an early one. And I wanted to play games on that thing. There weren't many games available. And I taught myself to computer program thinking, hey, this way I can get some games, and long term, I want to grow up and make games. And so that was also important because gaming was a gateway to computer programming, to learning for me. So that imprinted on young Todd that, you know, gaming can be social and gaming can be a way to actually develop useful skills. So fast forward to UNC, I did major in computer science. I got out of that great university and started working here in Atlanta for a company called NCR. And it was right when NCR's retail headquarters was moved down here. And as you suggested, I mean, that was really, I guess, my first career developing business software, which I did at NCR. And then I left NCR and joined a small startup company, also automating retail businesses. So we would serve the convenience store market and later the fast food store market and later movie ticket sales. But it was all about automating their business with software. And that was really career one for me, was automating these business operations, writing code, leading projects, leading developers. And my second career was jumping from that business operation software to helping start a video game company called Hi-Rez Studios. And that started with four of us. It grew to be 450 employees. It's a great, thriving company up in Alpharetta now. And then my third jump was from developing games to putting on marketing events via esports, really building up communities using esports, and that's called Skillshot. So that's about 30 years in less than 3 minutes, I guess. But to your point, you know, what I thought I would be doing growing up is pretty similar to what I'm doing now, but there were quite a few different careers and businesses along the way.
Well, I tell you what I hear from that, which is very inspiring and very impressive, is that growing up, you took a bonding experience and what we'd call now virtual bonding experience, playing Space Invaders, and I'm old enough to remember that one as well. Then you combined a passion, which was the video games, and then you combined it into what we now call the STEM pursuit at major universities, and pursued that through your education at UNC, University of North Carolina. So one thing that we always try to impart in our kids and on our kids and with our kids, and which we continue to do this summer, is that pursue your passion professionally. Pursue what's in your heart and pursue it with zeal, which it sounds like in your case that you were able to do, although in somewhat of a non-linear path. And so to our listeners, also I'll note NCR, speaking of pivots, used to be called the National Cash Register Company. And now they've evolved into one of the, you know, the big giants in the field, and Todd was a big part of the success and the company that it started. So, Todd, let's segue into Hi-Rez. So, tell us some background on Hi-Rez Studios. It's a amazing company based north of Atlanta in Alpharetta, Georgia. I have visited many times, been inspired there. Let's talk about the formation of Hi-Rez. Let's talk about what Hi-Rez does. And let's talk about first step would be career opportunities within the video gaming publishing business. So, because when I walk around Hi-Rez, I am so inspired by the quality of talent and attitude and the artists and the sculptors and the crafters and the anthropologists. So talk a little bit about to kids if they want to actually be physically involved in the production of video games, and where should they go to pursue some of that passion?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so, you know, key to that is the recognition that you might enjoy playing video games. And these days you'll see in the headlines, you know, the 16-year-old kid that won $3 million being the best at a video game, Fortnite. But the career opportunities in the gaming industry and gaming and esports are much, much broader than just playing. And in the same way, there's very few LeBron Jameses out there, but he's got an agent, he's got a lawyer, he's got the commentators, he's got a whole event company, he's got sponsors, right? So yeah, gaming is a massive industry, and it's a great career for people who, as you said, are passionate around it and willing to put in the time. So the publisher part of the game ecosystem, and really there's the developer and the publisher. And similar to if you were going to write a book, you could think the author is developing the content, the publisher is bringing the book to market and has the relationship with the distribution channels, Amazon these days, but used to be retail stores. So when we started Hi-Rez, this idea of developer and publisher, they were two different companies. Usually the developer, the creation part, would work on a milestone basis. And maybe if they hit their milestones and delivered the software on time, they'd get paid with a little margin, and then the publisher would bring that game to market. But what was so interesting about 2005, when we started the company, was everything was starting to go digital. And music was moving to digital with Napster and sharing. You know, movies weren't quite there. Books were starting to go there. And so our founding principle with Hi-Rez was that games will be digital. And when that becomes digital, we as a developer creating the content, we could also be our own publisher. We could have the relationship with the end consumer. They could download the game directly from our website, and they could download the game from other digital storefronts like Steam, from Valve. And the reason I bring that up is because that meant there were many different job descriptions that we would eventually grow to fill, because we started as a developer and then we became a publisher when we had to bring a game to market. And so the core functions in game development are really your coding, you know, you're programming the rules of the game, or you're doing digital art. You're making all the beautiful graphics and special effects and animations, or you're designing, where you're kind of figuring out the rules but not actually coding them. And that's supported by many, many other functions, like quality assurance and others. And as you know, Vinny, when we walked through the development floor of the game Smite, which is a game based on mythology, there are, in order to create one new character in that game, one new playable character, so you're creating Zeus or you're creating Thor, that goes through 15 different people's hands before it actually gets shipped. So it starts with a concept of like, what are the powers of this character going to be? What is he going to look like visually? How's he going to move? How's he going to sound? What's his theme music? And it continues through a virtual assembly line. And those are really 15 different jobs. You know, I said digital art, but an animator is a craft that is different from a special effects creator. And so, and then, you know, that's on the development side. So it quickly gets very specialized, but for students listening, as you said, it really just starts with a passion to make games. And it's pretty easy these days to get some experience at some level. Most of the tools, Unreal Engine, Unity, these are tools that are used by the highest tier, you know, multi-million, billion-dollar games that are available to download for free, and kind of cut your teeth and figure out, hey, do I like this stuff? Could I see myself doing this? You know, would it be my dream to get paid if I did this? Mm-hmm. And often in the game industry, you will find because it is fairly competitive and it's long hours, but it's folks that really can't imagine themselves doing anything else. And I compare it to, you know, maybe starting a band or doing music if you're as old as Vinny and I, where those tools weren't available. But, you know, you talk to a musician and they're like, yeah, I kind of have to do this. I'm going to do this. If I can get paid to do this, like that's kind of the dream. And so you find a lot of that in the game development industry.
Well, it's funny because when I walk around Hi-Rez and walk around Skillshot, like I said, I really see a modern day workforce. I see this amazing, amazing vibe in the facility. And as this continued to evolve, Todd, you found yourself as a video game publisher looking for other ways to promote the popularity of the game Smite, as well as encourage and influence the purchase of virtual goods. Well, I say my son, who's been a big video game, player for many years, you found yourself saying, okay, what more is there to evolve the marketing of this game and to promotion of the game? And so that's sort of how it evolved into what I loosely call the tournament production arm of what you're doing now, which is Skillshot Media. That's correct, right?
Yeah, you nailed it. You know, it's very hard to make a good game. It's very competitive. And then once you feel like you have a good game or have the potential for a game, you know, how do you market it? How do you make it sticky? How do you ultimately monetize it? Oftentimes through these virtual goods, in-game transactions, you know, where people are supporting it with dollars. And so, as you suggested, we used, and the company continues to use, a few different marketing channels. But what we saw worked really well was supporting the community's appetite for competitive and social play, which now they call esports. But at that time, the term wasn't really out there. We just saw that, hey, people want to play this at a competitive level, and other people are interested in the outcome of that. You know, that was at the time pretty revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And even though its roots go back as far as that neighborhood arcade, where whether it's Space Invaders or Donkey Kong or Dragon's Lair, Robotron, people would gather around who's going to get their initials at the top of the leaderboard and who's going to take them down. It's just that local phenomenon of the arcade, because of the internet, because of live streaming technologies like Twitch and YouTube gaming, now that competition is distributed globally. And that is a huge amplifier of attention. And so we leaned into that really hard. We built our own internal production studio. We started giving some prizing for competition. You know, it was $100 a weekend tournament. Then it was $1,000 a weekend tournament. But after 3 years, you know, we had prize pools for the world championship that were $1 million or more. And we were filling arenas, you know, with 3,000 fans, not playing, but watching the 5-versus-5 match on the stage. And so that was and continues to be a great marketing platform for the game. And really taking that to the third chapter with Skillshot, it was, hey, we've gotten pretty good at putting on these events and operating these tournaments. We think that we can deliver value for other game publishers besides Hi-Rez Studios, and even for other partners that are not endemic to gaming. You know, whether it's the Coca-Cola's out there, or the Mercedes-Benz's out there, you know, these brands now are starting to look at esports to reach an audience because of the global reach, because it's relevant these days, and it's honestly relatively cost efficient compared to other ways to reach the audience. So that's kind of the final pivot, at least up to current day, of having Skillshot be a general platform for brands to use esports to meet their marketing goals and really around building community.
Well, I've been to, you know, several tournaments that, that you've produced, and I'll have to tell you that, you know, the first one I went to, I was initially skeptical. I'm like, I'm actually going to watch others play video games. And I mean, it was as exciting or more exciting than a professional tennis match or professional golf match or things of that nature, particularly with this generation of kids and consumers who are obviously the most sophisticated to our listeners out there with your handheld, your mobile, your wireless device. Talk about what goes into the production of a live tournament. And talk about where those career opportunities and campus opportunities may exist and reside for. So like when I was working my way through Auburn University Sports Information, I helped put the football and the basketball games on. And then the early days, we were out stringing cable for cable television outlets. So I knew where those opportunities lie. But if we've got listeners and students who want to be esport tournament producers, where should they look? Where do those lie?
Yeah, great question. I mean, at many campuses now, the sports management programs, if your university has one, you know, are starting to at least dabble in esports, and many of those core disciplines and experiences definitely apply. So that's one place to look. Also, at this point, almost every university has an esports club on campus. Some have taken that to the next level and have what's termed a varsity program, where the university has actually hired a coach. You know, they're investing real dollars in staff and venues to support play, and those competitors are treated like student athletes. You know, they have a grade point average that has to be maintained, and they have a competitive schedule, and they're under a practice schedule. So that may exist at your university. There's about 200 universities that have varsity programs, but even if it doesn't, there will be a club. There are folks mm-hmm. that are playing Smash. There are folks that are playing League of Legends. They lean into the social element, but usually they also want to compete. And the nice thing about technology today is it doesn't have to be at the level of a Skillshot or professional event performer right out of the gate. You know, with a webcam and some software like OBS, which is free to download, and a little bit of a Googling, you know, you can produce, if you will, a live stream from your bedroom or from the college campus center, student union, or wherever the gameplay is taking place. So a lot of those experiences can be found on campus by talking with your esports club or looking at the curriculum that might exist around sports management.
And so, and then as time goes on and time evolves, there's going to be more and more of a presence and more opportunities on most collegiate in collegiate esports environments. Talk about a little bit, because you say that, and I want to get our kids and our listeners even more in depth. You're very involved with one of the leading collegiate esports organizations in the country called NACE. So, for instance, use that lineage of a kid, how they would find out about NACE. Is NACE involved on their campus, and then how would our kids become involved with the NACE organization? Because what I want you to talk about is the future of esports is very bright. So not only NACE, but where are the best places for our students who want to pursue careers in esports, video game production, tournament production? So it's a couple of part question. Talk about NACE, and then talk about where are these other great resources for these kids to reach into? Because in a post-COVID world, it's going to be tough in the job market. And so what we're trying to do is equip all of these kids with all the tools that they can, and the knowledge and the insight and the resources to pursue these new and non-traditional areas. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that's great. And I always say esports is not COVID immune, but it is COVID resilient. You know, the fact is that there will be collegiate esports this fall. That's a definite. While other sports, of course, are more questionable, and over the next year or two, until hopefully we, you know, get all this sorted out, these esports competitions and opportunities will continue. So, specific to NACE, which is the National Association of Collegiate Esports, it is really an association of universities. There's about 200 universities currently that, where someone at the institutional level has invested dollars and they have a varsity program, and they're, you know, generally looking to grow that on their campus because it's still pretty early days. And so folks could go to the website, I think it's nace.org, and see whether their school is a member, because they do have a list of members, and they're doubling in size every calendar year. So if they're not, hopefully they will be soon. And that's a great outlet. I'll give you two other more general and actionable for everybody steps to kind of get in. The esports industry, as much as I love filling venues and everyone should go to a live event, it really runs on content. I mean, video content live and on demand is really what has fueled its growth, because the audience just, you know, has a big appetite. And so I always encourage kids or adults interested in the industry to do two things. You know, one is to produce some content themselves. And this could be written blog content. This could be a video. This could be a live stream. This could be jumping on new platforms like TikTok before anyone's really figured out the best way to do esports on that platform. But producing content is just a great way to, you know, authentically engage in the space, build a little bit of brand equity in your own social media handle, and then have something that's shareable, you know, that's just another form of a resume these days to get you in to an employer. Because whether you're a publisher, an event organizer, such as Skillshot, or a professional team, you know, all of those organizations kind of run on content. So that's just one really nice step. And then the second one is, I mean, Vinny, you know, I post a lot on LinkedIn, as you do. And LinkedIn has really transformed from being a place to get a job, if you're looking for a job, as it was originally, or find mm-hmm. talent. It is now a very powerful social media network for business. And so I know many people firsthand who have gotten their esports gig by putting out content specifically on LinkedIn. And I know many others that we've hired at Skillshot and at Hi-Rez. I mean, we probably hired 30 people directly from the community because they were producing content about our product, right? Mm-hmm. About the game Smite or about an event that we did. So those are kind of my two most actionable takeaways for folks.
Well, and that's perfect. And so what we're going to, and you echo exactly what I say, what we're going to be saying to our students all summer, is that LinkedIn is absolutely the best professional business networking tool created in history. In the old days, I always like to say, hey, we had to go to the library. We had to look up resource guides, yellow pages, white pages, encyclopedias. And now this information is in the palm of our students' hands. And so to Todd's point, and we're going to be teaching about this later in the summer, Todd is very active on LinkedIn. It is a wonderful place to follow him and learn and understand. I get a lot of learning and understanding of this space from Todd through his postings on LinkedIn, then through Todd's LinkedIn connections. Obviously, there are many connections into the esports industry. Todd is a leader of the Atlanta Esports Alliance, which is an extension of the Atlanta Sports Council, which you know, part of what we're going to try to do this summer is continue to help these kids network. So I would encourage you to friend Todd on LinkedIn, follow him, communicate with him. He's a he's a tremendous communicator on LinkedIn. And so, Todd, in wrapping up our inaugural podcast of Virtual Melt You, tell us a fun story of one of the big players, you know, participants, athletes that you've worked with. Give us a fun story, because I know when I would be walking around with you and my son Carter at a tournament, and Carter would be like, you know, going, oh my God, there's so and so, and he's got a million Instagram followers, and et cetera. Tell us a fun story to wrap our first one up with one of the big boys that you've worked with in the past.
Okay. Wow. Let's think about that. I mean, I'll tell you, I got to give you two stories. Well, one spotlight and then another one maybe for the heart. So I think, you know, the spotlight story, as you know, Vinny, we this was not related to Smite, but we did just do an event that was for some nonprofit partners called COVID, you know, that was for COVID relief. And we had some great partners in the Boys and Girls Club. And that was a chance to bring in about 100 influencers and play 6 different games in a 13-hour live stream. And so, you know, there's a bunch of stories that came out of that. But I think in gaming, it doesn't get much bigger than Ninja. You know, he kind of took Fortnite and gaming to the next level of popularity. And if you haven't heard of Ninja, you know, he is massive. He has a social media following that I believe he still holds the record of being higher than any athlete, that is bigger than LeBron James, bigger than Ronaldo, as far as his following. And so, you know, for this event, the day after Rob the Gronk Gronkowski announced he was going to be returning to the NFL, I think that was like a Wednesday, and that Thursday or the next day, he announced over his Instagram that he was going to challenge Ninja. He was challenging Ninja to meet him in the game Warzone and play head to head, right? And honestly, that was not pre-staged. Like, we had no idea. And some of the other ones that came later were, but that one that kicked it off, we were just like, we had no idea if Ninja was gonna be up for it or not. And our broadcast was going to be on multiple platforms. Ninja had left Twitch and moved to Mixer, but Ninja accepted. The battle went down. It was interesting because Ninja broadcast on his preferred platform, Mixer, but our main content feed was also on Twitch. So people were kind of tweeting all about that, that, you know, Ninja somehow was back on Twitch. And yeah, that event overall, I think was like 70 million impressions and raised a lot of money. So that, you know, it's obviously great to kind of be at that level of gaming stardom. But then, you know, I think I want to follow that up with a story of when I got on the phone with a young man from Alabama who is playing Smite for his varsity team for his high school. I won't give his name on here, but it was such a good story. You know, he is confined to a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And because of his condition, he could never play high school traditional sports the way we'd think about it. But he competed, you know, on his team and became a little bit of a mini celebrity at his school. And he used the words to me over the phone that it was life-changing. And he's now inspired to go into the game industry. And so, you know, ultimately for Skillshot, as much as about marketing, it's kind of a mission-driven company for me around trying to change lives a bit and make the world a little better place, you know, through delivering gaming the right way. And when I hear a story like that, you know, that means even more to me than the ninja story. So I'll leave
It's amazing because, you know, we had some discussions. The Shepherd Center here is one of the world's foremost rehabilitation centers in the world. And we've had some discussions where, like Todd has said, firsthand stories where kids who are now developing technologies to be able to play these video games with their eye movements and with their hand movements or limited hand movements or voice commands, it's really changing and impacting their lives. And Todd and Skillshot and Hi-Rez are at the forefront of those movements. So Todd Harris, CEO of Skillshot Media, chairman of the Atlanta Esports Alliance, great friend to Melt, Melt University. We really appreciate your time today in joining us and inspiring our students during the summer of Melt U. So Todd, we really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I love the opportunities in the past to speak in person. I love what you do with the Melt U platform, and it's great that you're taking it virtual. I'm honored to be the inaugural guest. So have a great continued run with Melt U.
Thank you, Todd, and listeners and our students. Listen to this podcast over and over. Reach out to Todd on LinkedIn, and hopefully this will inspire your career pursuit in the esports space. This is Vince Thompson on behalf of Melt and Virtual Melt University Summer 2020. Thank you, Todd.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Vince. Hope you enjoyed today's virtual class. We'll be back soon with another edition of Melt University 2020.